We already had a very full morning. This is more like the dessert. A small dessert. I have a psalm on my heart. I have had it on my heart for a few weeks. It's Psalm 112, and I would like to read it with you. Hallelujah. Fortunate is the man who fears the Lord, whose great delight is in his laws. Mighty will his offspring be in the land, a blessed generation of upright men. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness stands forever. A light dawned in the darkness for the upright, gracious, merciful, and righteous. Good is the man who generously lends money and conducts his business honestly, because he will never be shaken. A memory forever will the righteous be. Bad news he doesn't fear. Firm is his heart, secure in the Lord. Steadfast is his heart, he will not fear, until he looks in triumph on his enemies. He generously gives to the poor, his righteousness stands forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see and be angry. He will grind his teeth and melt. The desire of the wicked will perish. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are present. We thank you for your word. Will you also speak now? In Jesus' name we pray. Okay. This is an acrostic psalm. It means that every line starts with a letter of the alphabet. So the first line is Aleph, the second line is Bet, third line is Gimel, etc. And it, on the one hand, it makes it easy to memorize a text like that in Hebrew. It's harder to memorize it in English, actually, than it is in Hebrew, because if you get lost, you know the letters of the alphabet and you just go to the next letter. In English, it doesn't follow that here. It's not just because it's easy to memorize. It's also to indicate we're talking about a topic and let's look at it from all angles possible, from A to Z. And the topic here is he who fears the Lord. So that's what we keep in mind as we read this text. Let's go to first slide. Hallelujah. Fortunate is the man who fears the Lord, whose great delight is in his laws. Mighty will his offspring be in the land, a blessed generation of upright men. Now, some of your translations might say, blessed is the man who fears the Lord. It is an exclamation. You look at someone and you say, wow, that is the life that we should live. Like the Queen of Sheba, she came to Israel and she saw Solomon and she said, fortunate are your people, fortunate are your servants, because they are under your wisdom all the time. So fortunate is the man who fears the Lord, whose great delight is in his laws. Now this might maybe reminds you of another psalm. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, also there actually, it is fortunate is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked or take the path that sinners tread or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord. You see the two things that are in common. You exclaim, here is someone who is happy, who is fortunate. And then their delight is in the law of the Lord. And also the end of the psalm is the same. The end of Psalm 1 is, but the way of the wicked will perish. And in our psalm, Psalm 112, the end is, the desire of the wicked will perish. It's a similar style. You know, not all psalms sound like this. You might think about psalms as praising the Lord. These are called wisdom psalms. They are meant to teach us something. They reflect, and in this case, they reflect on the good life. And in our psalm, it starts with, he who fears the Lord. Let's go to the next. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness stands forever. A light dawned in the darkness for the upright, gracious, merciful, and righteous. I should tell you something about these verses, because a long time ago, I was teaching a course on Jonah. And what we do is we teach it in a live manner, so you try to explain words in very simple Hebrew. And in Jonah, two of these words appear, gracious and merciful. And I thought, again, how can I explain this in simple ways? And can I use an example of someone like me as a teacher who is gracious to a student? So I again looked at all the text in the Bible, and I discovered that only God is gracious and merciful. These words are only used for him, except in this psalm. Okay? Now that's interesting, and actually, here we see, if you look at this psalm, you should actually read it together with the psalm that precedes Psalm 112, Psalm 111. And Psalm 111 starts in a very similar way. It starts with the same word, hallelujah, and then it has also an acrostic psalm. It's Aleph is the first line, Bet is the second line, etc. But the topic in Psalm 111 is the Lord. It describes the Lord. And then you see some parallels that are almost exactly the same. Look at the slide here. You see it starts like this. Great are the works of the Lord. Full of honor and majesty is his work. And his righteousness stands forever. Now look at that Psalm 112 about the man who fears the Lord. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness stands forever. Let's go back to Psalm 111. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. This describes the Lord. The Lord is gracious and merciful. So having read Psalm 111 about who the Lord is, now you switch to the one who fears the Lord, and you actually discover that the same words that are used to describe the Lord are now used to describe the one who fears the Lord. So what you see is that the one who fears the Lord is reflecting the character of God. And that's why these two words, gracious and merciful, hanun verachum, are only here used for human beings. To say, here, look, he is reflecting the character of God. There are more parallels between Psalm 111 and 112, but these are the ones that really stand out, and it shows us about God's desire for our lives to reflect him. So let's go to the next lines. Good is the man who generously lends money. It parallels that first verse. Fortunate is the man who fears the Lord. Good is the man who generously lends money and conducts his business honestly, because he will never be shaken. A memory forever will the righteous be. I don't remember what else I wanted to say about these verses. Next. Bad news he doesn't fear. Maybe this is the reason why I started thinking about the psalm about 2-3 weeks ago. Bad news he doesn't fear. Firm is his heart, secure in the Lord. Steadfast it should be. I wrote stead. Steadfast is his heart, he will not fear, until he looks in triumph on his enemies. Now, if you look at this verse in a different way, you can see that it's structured in a very special way. If you can go to the next slide. It starts with bad news. It ends with bad news, right? Until he looks in triumph on his enemies. And then you see that the next part is he will not fear. And the before last is again, he will not fear. Then you have firm is his heart and steadfast is his heart. And in the center we have secure in the Lord. Right? This is the center of this unit. So, This person who fears the Lord has no other fear in his heart. And even when he hears bad news, he will not fear. Firm is his heart. Why? Because he's secure in the Lord. That's our only place of security. And there's lots of bad news, not just war. Sickness, relationships that go sour. There's a lot. And then we read this bad news, he will not fear. Firm is his heart, secure in the Lord. Steadfast is his heart, he will not fear until he looks in triumph on his enemies. I'd like to be that person. You know, when there's bad news and you do not fear. And so I was reflecting on how do you become a person like that? How can you become a person that when bad news happens, you're not suddenly, you know, clenched? You're not responding out of fear. It's very easy to do it. Very human. And here we're presented with a different life. And I think this is because this person is fearing the Lord. The way he sees that God is big. God is in control, so I fear him. God is gracious and merciful, so I fear him. Right? That consumes his mind, and then nothing else can enter that fear. There is already something that you've dedicated your life to. And so that's my prayer, that God will become so big in my own heart and in my own mind that there is not that space for fear of other things. And that there is no doubt about his character. You know, as soon as there's a little doubt about his character, well, okay, maybe I know he's gracious and merciful. Is he really powerful to act in my life? Can he really rule right here in a situation where you feel like everything is out of my hand? But if he's big, if he rules, and you know that he's also gracious and merciful because he has displayed that, he's convinced our hearts in Jesus that this is who he is, and we can follow him completely. But I know that the smaller God becomes in my mind, the easier it becomes to react out of my own emotions. So this is about the fear of the Lord. And actually, if you read the preceding psalm, Psalm 111, it's all about the Lord, except for the last verse, the verse that precedes this psalm. And that last verse says, "The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord." And then it continues with this psalm. Next slide. Oh, all right. He generously gives to the poor. His righteousness stands forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. These are three lines all about the one who fears the Lord, and then come three lines that are all about the opposite. It's hard for you to read. The wicked will see and be angry. He will grind his teeth and melt. The desire of the wicked will perish. So in thinking about how the fear of the Lord can grow in me, I was thinking about these last verses from the New Testament, from James. Can go to James. It's like this. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, bad news, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives it to all, generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. What is that doubt? Do I really want to become this person? Oh yes, I'd like to become the fearless person. Do I really want to become this person that generously lends? Do I really want to surrender and say, Lord, just you? If there's a little bit of doubt, then why would he give? Right? It's a double-minded person. Well, I like the good stuff of you, Lord, and then I have some other good stuff here. And he says, just ask for wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Let's read one more time the whole psalm. Hallelujah. Fortunate is the man who fears the Lord, whose great delight is in his laws. Mighty will his offspring be in the land, a blessed generation of upright men. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness stands forever. A light dawned in the darkness for the upright, gracious, merciful, and righteous. Good is the man who generously lends money and conducts his business honestly, because he will never be shaken. A memory forever will the righteous be. Bad news, he doesn't fear. Firm is his heart, secure in the Lord. Steadfast is his heart, he will not fear, until he looks in triumph on his enemies. He generously gives to the poor. His righteousness stands forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see and be angry. He will grind his teeth and melt. The desire of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Lord, the way you thought of us as human beings is amazing. We know that you are gracious and compassionate and righteous, and we know that you would love to see that in us. So we turn to you, because it's not naturally in us. It's not naturally in us, especially when there is bad news. And yet we would love to live this fearless life that is consumed by you, that is surrendered to you, that reflects you, so that we can be a light in darkness, so that your graciousness and your mercy would be seen. Lord, we pray that you become bigger in our hearts and in our minds, and teach us to let go of the things that hold us back from that. May we see more of you this week, more of your character, more of your grace, more of your mercy, more of your righteousness, more of your light.